This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on your preferred podcasting platform. Welcome to TPF Live, episode number 84, with your host, Rob Tiansen. Nathan Solomon is off this week as he gets ready to go back to school for his senior year at St. Bonaventure University. So for the first time, and I believe the entire existence of the Podium Finishes podcast library, this is a solo cast with just me. So it should be a lot of fun just to talk to you fans and just have a little bit of a monologue throughout the next hour on this show. But it's still going to be a fun-packed, action-packed podcast because we're still going to be talking about what happened in the past week with the post-Watkins Glen, pre-Daytona, pre-Milwaukee Mile edition of our show. Yes, Milwaukee Mile, because it's the first time the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series is racing at that famed oval in West Allis, Wisconsin, in many years. And of course, we have the regular season finale for the Cup Series at Daytona, while the Xfinity Series still has a ways to go before it settles its 12-driver playoff field. So I'm looking forward to talking about that with you fans, with my thoughts about it. And of course, we'll have Nathan back next week for episode 85. And it's, of course, TPF Live, with the fact that we have a hot seat guest. And on this edition, this is really putting the word hot seat to its literal context, because we have the latest NASCAR Xfinity Series race winner, Sam Mayer, joining us. Of course, he just won last Saturday afternoon at Watkins Glen International in a really exciting Shriner Children's Hospital 200 race that went down to overtime. And Sam was able to get the decisive second victory of his career. So it's super fun to have him on the show, and he'll have a lot to talk about the momentum he's been having, working with his crew chief, Marty Lindley, as well as a lot of other things that is on his mind about being with Junior Motorsports. So I'm excited to present that interview to you fans a little bit later on the show. But for now, let's hear from our sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com. Hey racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing, or F1, or IndyCar diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to SpoilerDiecast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars, and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to SpoilerDiecast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cards around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that, so just head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com and make your latest purchases today. And yes, indeed, folks, if you use promo code TPF, you will save yourself 5% off and get free shipping on orders of $20 or more. And those items can arrive as quickly as 4 business days. And that's pretty quick with the USPS these days, I'd say. So get to it. Get Evan and his team to get to work on your orders of those Lionel Racing Greenlight collectibles, or those F1 diecasts that are just about coming in about every week. So lots to look forward to with our partner, SpoilerDiecast.com. With that, folks, why don't we mosey on over to Podium Perspectives. And we'll still keep the format the same, even though this is a solo cast. So let's get to it first about William Byron's victory, his 5th of the season, with him winning the Go Bowling at the Glen NASCAR Cup Series race at Watkins Glen. And it was indeed the fastest race, Cup Series-wise, at the famed 2.45-mile, 7-turn road course up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. Now, a lot of folks are still kind of digressing, digesting, complaining, praising. They have opinions about, you know, road course races not having those stage break cautions. Well, I'll say this much. I think it's great to have a bit of an old school flavor with NASCAR Cup Series and Xfinity Series, and even Truck Series racing without these stage rate cautions. I understood the purpose of having them when they were established back in 2017, but honestly, I think it really adds to the excitement and the importance of track position and minimizing mistakes, as well as the fact that a lot of drivers have been saying that racing without the stage rate cautions has made it a lot more physical. And that's what racing should be about. That's the sports element, if you will, improving these drivers being athletes. As for William Byron, I think he had the easiest day in the office because in the very beginning, he pretty much leapt to second place, trailed Michael McDowell throughout the first part of the race when McDowell won stage one. But then McDowell kind of put himself behind the eight ball when he sped on pit road at the end of stage one, well, after stage one ended and stage two pretty much kicked off. And that was a shame for Michael McDowell, considering he had a pretty good car, good enough to perhaps win his third career cup race and his second in a row after his sentimental victory at Indianapolis Road Course. But nevertheless, William Byron earned the lead, and really only the only time he didn't have the lead was during pit stop cycles, which even then he was just the fastest, most dominant car, as the MRN radio folks kept repeating throughout their telecast that, you know, it didn't seem like William Byron wasn't giving it his best. I wouldn't say giving his best, but he wasn't pushing it. And that was pretty scary to think, because he had quite a bit of daylight between himself and Denny Hamlin, who arguably was the third best car on Sunday afternoon. But nevertheless, William Byron brought the victory home, and it was the first time that the number 24 car won at Watkins Glen since Jeff Gordon back in 2001, during the time that Jeff Gordon was coronated as the road course king. And it seems like Hendrick Motorsports hasn't missed a beat, with now three good road course racers in Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, and now William Byron winning his first career road course race. And it couldn't have come at a better time, because the regular season's coming to an end. Yes, he will not win the regular season championship, but a little momentum never hurts anyone. And I think getting that fifth victory was a bit of a statement, if you will, for him to win at Watkins Glen, because let's face it, the Fords have been really good these last three races, and of course Joe Gibbs Racing has really turned up the wick in these past few weeks. So honestly, Hendrick Motorsports is showing that they're the best team, and William Byron and the number 24 team with crew chief Rudy Fugel is here to stay. So I think we haven't seen the last of this group. In fact, I think this is going to be their deepest playoff run. So for people who are competing against the number 24 team, they've got a lot of work ahead of them to even muster some kind of balance between what has worked for them versus the 24 team continually bringing it each and every race weekend. So I'm not totally surprised by them being so good at all. I mean, William Byron even said it himself, you know, yeah, we've had a tough four races, I would say, but we've had speed at three of the four. Indy comes to mind, Michigan and Pocono. Then the other ones, we didn't quite have the speed, or we had issues during the race. It's just part of the ebbs and flows of the season, I think, that you want to be on kill for 38, but it's really hard to be good every single week. I think it naturally was kind of a little bit of a reset for us and try to get ready for the playoffs. And, you know, Jeff Gordon himself was really impressed by what William Byron accomplished on Sunday afternoon, and knowing that, you know, the number that he drove for the majority of his career returned to its winning ways. And Byron mentioned it himself. He said, yeah, it's cool. I spent a lot of time watching summer races here with that Flames car and how good he, Jeff Gordon, was here at the Glen. Him and Tony Stewart basically all the time. It's great to carry on that legacy with the car, and we'll share a couple of memories over it. So, congratulations to William Byron, Rudy Fugel, and the entire number 24 Hendrick Motorsports team on a solid performance at Watkins Glen. Now, on the flip side, of course, we have to also think about the regular season championship. That Byron and his number 24 team are probably motivated by, in terms of not winning it, because they're going to bring it during the playoffs. But in the meantime, we have a bit of an internal struggle for it with Joe Gibbs Racing's Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, of course, the most recent winner at Pocono, and also really, really consistent all season long, Martin Truex Jr., who's won a bunch of races in the summer, and he had both of them had great runs at Watkins Glen, with Hamlin getting second and Martin Truex Jr. finishing sixth. And now, it's not like it's the closest regular season championship chase, but with a mistake or an accident involving the number 19, if Denny Hamlin and his number 11 team do their work, stay out of trouble, stay at the front of the field and grab valuable stage points, maybe even playoff points, then it makes things a little bit interesting to see who gets the regular season championship. Yeah, the whole concept sounds a little silly if you're a sports fan and you're like, it's racing, but the importance of getting the regular season championship are those playoff points. And of course, those are good to have, as it can offset bad finishes, serve as a mulligan, if you will, at some of the tougher tracks, if you will, for a driver and team. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how competitive things get between the number 19 and 11 teams. But for the time being, you know, everything looks good for Joe Gibbs Racing. They have the 11, the 20, and the number 19 in the playoffs, with Ty Gibbs not that far off, but, you know, certainly he's going to bring a little bit of sweat to the current 16th place occupant in Bubba Wallace, who is sort of a satellite teammate through 23-11. Bubba Wallace had a good enough run to even, you know, just get the points he needed to get to be in 16th place in points, because of the fact that Alex Bowman, and of course, we also had AJ Allmendinger in the chase, like the chase for that spot. Chase Elliott didn't have a good day. You know, a lot of drivers who you would expect to go and vie for one of those playoff spots. Daniel Suarez too. They just didn't have they have a good day. And that puts them in that precarious position where it's pretty much a game seven moment. You either got to win or you're going home, and you're just going to chase after 17th place in points, which, well, for media outlets like us, we're still going to cover those stories, but let's face it, if you don't get to the top 16, if you're not in the playoffs in any of these NASCAR series, it gets pretty difficult to get the publicity, the attention time, the TV time, and unfortunately for these teams, that is a trend that's been happening since 2004, so I'm sure those teams want to do what they can, because remember, there's no top 30 rule, but as long as you've attempted every race, if you've gotten the waiver and you're still deemed playoff eligible to, you know, compete for one of those 16 spots, now the only 16th place spot, then anything can happen on Saturday night. William Byron can tell you folks about that, because a lot of folks were pining for Jimmy Johnson to make it to the playoffs in 2020, and lo and behold, he gets involved in a late race crash, and William Byron scored a pivotal victory, his first career victory at the World Center of Racing, and it was the catalytic moment for him to make it into the playoffs, something he's pretty consistent at doing these last few seasons. Now, unfortunately, this is not as happy news that I'm going to talk about, where on Wednesday morning, GMS Racing made a post on X, basically confirming that after this season, they are shuttering their doors. That also includes their fabrication business, and that's honestly a sad thing to see, because it wasn't that long ago that GMS Racing won the Truck Series Championship with Sheldon Creed, and let's not forget, Zane Smith got them to the championship four 2 years in a row, 2020 and 2021. GMS Racing, of course, has been having a good season with Grant Infinger as one of the top 10 drivers who are competing for the championship in the playoffs. And they're going to have their race at the Milwaukee Mile. They also have a good couple of rookies, and of course, Daniel Dye, the number 43, and Roger Carruth in the number 24 Chevrolet Silverado. And I can't help but think about how promising things were looking for them back in late 2021 when they made the announcement that they were going to field the number 94 car for Ty Dillon. And then that didn't happen because they eventually formed an alliance. They kind of partnered up with Richard Petty's team. It became Petty GMS last season with the number 43. And instead of number 94, it became the number 42 car. And now all of a sudden, we're not going to have one of the more staying power truck teams around. Of course, with GMS Racing becoming a Toyota team, it's pretty evident that, you know, they want to put all their resources into the Cup program, and that's going to affect a lot of truck teams who may be affiliated with GMS Racing one way or another. Of course, the teams directly tied to the organization, but those who are clients of their fabrication business. So it's really too bad, but I'm sure those drivers who are racing for that organization are going to find a seat or two, or find the opportunity so that they can stay in NASCAR, because Daniel Dye posted on social media that he's got a ride lined up for next season, and they're looking forward to sharing news about that. We'll see what happens with Roger Carruth and Grant Infinger, but hopefully, you know, Chevrolet decides to maybe put more resources into Rev Racing or Kyle Busch Motorsports to keep some kind of competitive team out there, because I can't help but think about how this is going to affect teams like the McAnally team or other teams like Rackley War with Matt DiBenedetto. So we'll keep you fans posted, of course, on what goes on with that, but it is sad to see a team leave the sport after so much success, contributions, and a lot of folks that you may know from the old days, if you will, like me, Mike Beam, who is a longtime crew chief for Bill Elliott, who has been involved with GMS Racing for quite a while. I mean, it's too bad that this has to happen, because I don't know if he's going to be around racing-wise after next season, this coming season, rather. So keep your eyes and ears and peeled as to what will happen with the domino effects of GMS Racing's closure after this year. So just hope those who may not have everything lined up, you know, best of luck in the next endeavors. Hopefully those folks can stay in racing and have a good opportunity wherever that may be in motorsports. And this is kind of a unique time for us on the last part of Podium Perspectives. Normally, Nathan and I talk about who we'll pick for winning time, but instead, I will just give you my winning picks. But first, we'll hear about the defending race winners for each of these major NASCAR races. So, of course, we'll start things off chronologically with Friday night's NASCAR Xfinity Series Wawa 250. If you don't know what Wawa is, then you probably haven't been to the East Coast and gone to, you know, their convenience stores at gas stations to get, get yourself refuel the coffee or the refreshments. So just a little bit of an East Coast delicacy. But the Wawa 250 was last won by Jeremy Clements, and I'm sure he would love a victory again on Friday night to make his way into the round of 12. And then on Saturday night, we have the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona, the NASCAR Cup Series regular season finale. As you may know, folks, last year it wasn't a Saturday night race because of rain, and we got things pushed to Sunday morning, which became a late Sunday afternoon finish because of rain and that crazy crash towards the end of the race that left a lot of drivers fuming about the situation weather-wise. But nevertheless, Austin Dillon emerged from that crash and won the race and got his way into the playoffs while knocking Martin Truex Jr. out of the 16-driver field. And on Sunday afternoon, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series returns to the Milwaukee Mile for the Clean Harbors 175 race. It does seem a bit weird to call it an inaugural race because, if you've been around the sport as long as I have, or you watched races on YouTube, then you pretty much know that the Truck Series has been racing at the Milwaukee Mile for 15 years, and they last raced there in 2009 with Ron Hornaday Jr. winning that race. Yes, that's how long ago it's been, because Ron Hornaday was around. In fact, I don't think a lot of the drivers from that race are still competing. Maybe Chad McCombie in sports car races. Of course, Matt Crafton still around. Ryan Sieg. David Starr makes his occasional starts. Colin Brown. But staying on topic, for all intents and purposes, we don't have an actual defending race winner. So it'll be interesting to make a pick, because these trucks are way different than they were back in 2009. So let's start things off with Friday night's Wawa 250. And I am going to go and say Daniel Hemric wins the race and assures himself of a playoff spot, it would be kind of nice to see the Colic Racing boys work together to ensure that Daniel Hemric makes it in, because he's their second and really full-time effort in that division. We already know that Chandler Smith won a race at Richmond, so he's good to go. So if they can get Daniel Hemric in the race with that victory, I'm sure that kind of takes away the salty defeat, if you will, from Atlanta Motor Speedway in mid-July. As far as the Coke Zero Sugar 400 is concerned, it's really, you just gotta put a name in a hat and you pick it and hope it works out. But honestly, just preliminarily thinking, I am gonna go and choose a Ford driver, because Fords are typically good at super speedways. And off the top of my head, because we don't have practice, it's just qualifying, I will go with Joey Logano to win the Coke Zero Sugar 400. It would be a good moment for him, because he'll basically assure himself of a second victory, maybe moves him up the playoff standings, and for Bubba Wallace, if he stays out of trouble, he wouldn't mind a repeat winner, because that would mean he gets to be in the playoffs for the first time. So I'll go with Logano to win on Saturday night. As far as the Clean Harbors 175 truck race on Sunday afternoon, you know, we know that Ty Majeski is super good on these flat tracks. He showed that off at Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park. I expect more of the same from him on Sunday afternoon, so I think he makes it a twofer, which means that when we get to Kansas in a couple of weeks, that cutoff race is going to be, that's going to be something in terms of who makes it and who doesn't, because only two drives will be cut. But a bad race at either of these races coming up could make the difference for these talented competitive truck teams. But Folk, what do you think of my picks? Why don't you tweet to me at Rob T. Youngson, or tweet to me, you can send me a post on X or Threads, message me on Facebook, Rob T. Youngson, you'll know which one I'm at. And yeah, let me know what you guys think of your picks. And if you happen to get all three race picks correct, I will personally purchase you a 2023 in-stock diecast car, 164 scale, of course, from Spoiler Diecast. So that's how we do around here. With that, now let's go head on over to the hot seat. Welcome back to another edition of In the Hot Seat here on the Podium Finish and the Podium Finish Live. Rob T. Youngson here with Sam Mayer, driver of the number one Accelerate Pro Talent Chevrolet Camaro and the most recent winner in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. In fact, he has been on a hot streak, if you will, because he earned his two most recent career victories at Road America and Watkins Glen. So we sure ought to get these drivers in the hot seat, if you will. So Sam, before we get started, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really good right now. Obviously, coming off of a win here this last weekend feels really, really good. But like you said, the hot streak that we are on the last couple of months has been a really fun journey. I'm really looking forward to what we can do the rest of the season going into the playoffs, because we have so much momentum right now. It feels like we're indestructible right now. It feels really good.
And there's nothing like confidence and having a bit of momentum on your side. Good people also and good cars. But when you have a bit of those unseen intangibles, man, life is good. So I'm sure you're like, let's pinch myself, just make sure that life is really happening as it is. But man, yeah, for sure. And I'm sure you like this moment in my background. I know you folks listening to the show can't see it, but it's a background of Sam's car during last Saturday's race at Watkins Glen. So a good moment for the number one car. But anyways, let's actually talk about your season. And you got to get into it a little bit, but I would say it's been a sparkling year for you so far. Like I said, you got those wins at Road America and Watkins Glen. What has it been like for you to realize and experience these jubilant moments in your career so far?
Yeah, it's been a tough journey. A lot of learning, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of disappointment has led up to this just joy that I'm feeling now to have the success and have the streak that we are on. Last year, we had a lot of success with top fives, top tens, and close finishes and all that, but we never closed the deal out. And it wasn't a lack of speed and effort. It was just the fact that we were just so close and couldn't do it. This year, finally opening up the floodgates, getting that first win. It feels like I'm unstoppable right now. We already got our second win of the year, and we have so much momentum going into the playoffs that I'm really looking forward to getting it going, because I know that we're a little bit behind in the bonus point part, but I think that we have such good amount of momentum going into the playoffs that I think we're going to gain those points really quickly.
Certainly. And I am sure you're looking forward to the round of 12 coming up, knowing those are the good tracks for you. Of course, the Charlotte Roval's around the corner, so you're probably licking your chops when we get to the road courses. But anywhere right now, my friend, you are super fast and so competitive. So that's going to be a lot of fun for junior motorsports fans to see that for sure. And let's talk about that aspect of your career. I mean, it's your second full-time season with this renowned organization. You know, how would you perceive your evolution as a driver in your second full-time season?
Yeah, it's been a lot of learning. Like I said, there's been a lot of disappointment, downs and ups along the way to get to this point. And the organization, Junior Motorsports, is super exciting to be a part of because of the name, obviously, and the people in the building are just amazing. And they've been so good to me. They've stuck by my side, obviously, through all the craziness that's happened over the last couple of years to finally get this point and play almost like the long game with me and stick with me and give me the opportunity to get here. It's super special. And to get the organization two more wins on the year, we're a little bit behind compared to last year because we lacked some speed earlier in the spring, but we have so much speed now that I think we can catch up and get so many wins here closing off the year.
Absolutely. I mean, I bet you right now, as you're sitting here with me, you're like, man, if I'm in my car at Daytona, I'm pretty sure I'm going to win that race as well. So I can just see the confidence exuding from you. It's really cool to see and really authentic. And we'll talk about playoffs here in just a moment. I know you talked about the struggles a little bit. And when we last met back in 2021, I know that was just when you were kind of getting into the seat of the junior motorsports car because you just turned, I think, 18 at that point. So you could race at a lot of these major tracks. I mean, how have you managed or responded to any criticisms levied by the fans or media pundits or even internally when it comes to you as a driver?
Yeah, like I said, with disappointment over the last couple of years of not getting those wins that we expect, it takes a toll on you. And obviously all the other outside voices that you can hear and see, it takes a toll on you too. And doubt sets in here and there, but you have good runs here and there, and then it all goes away. obviously having winning now, takes a lot of weight off the shoulders and you feel just super good about yourself and the team. But yeah, I just, like, you got to block all that out now because you know you can do it. You've accomplished already what you wanted as your first goal. The rest of the goals, you got to go out and get them because they're right there waiting for you to come.
I like that. And I feel like people out there who may struggle with that and sometimes feel like their backs are against the wall, I think they're going to take some inspiration from what you said there, Sam. So that's really good advice and also a healthy attitude for sure. In fact, I might have needed to hear that myself. So I like that. That was good to hear. Now let's talk about the playoffs, because I know you're super excited. I'm excited as a journalist to get to that point of the year, because that's when we get to the nitty gritty. And I believe for another year in a row, we're going to start it off at Texas Motor Speedway, a track that you typically run pretty well at. I mean, what are some things that you have learned about from last year's run that you feel is going to benefit you this time around to have a really good concentrated run at this year's championship?
Yeah, I think in general, we have a lot of good racetracks coming up in general for our team and our organization. We've had obviously wins at Darlington, wins at Daytona. We've won all of these racetracks coming up. We won at Kansas last year with Noah. Like, all of these tracks that we have success at, and we've run really good at. The entire playoff grid, I mean, other than there's one or two that I don't know if I have confidence in, we just got to get there and find out. But other than those, I every single racetrack is something that I'm looking forward to going to, and I go to with knowing that I can get a big points day, know I can get to the next round, just click off one win and you're in the championship four if you make it to the round of eight. So lots of positivity for us. We just got to go out there and do it.
Certainly. Let's actually talk about one of those aspects that have probably catalyzed your efforts recently. I mean, it's your first year working with crew chief Marty Lindley, who's been around in this sport for a very long time. But what has that process been like working with him in terms of gelling with him and how he's likely elevated your craft as a driver?
Yeah, working with Marty back in 2018, 2019, and 2020 in the ARCA and the K&N series back in the day. I mean, it feels super good to be able to come back with him and have success already. Obviously, it's the first year back with him since we've been together years and years ago. But to have success with him already, for him to get in the game and get in the groove really quickly with these Xfinity cars, he's learning just as much as I am on the weekly. So to have success, have wins, have good race cars. In general, just feels really good. It's great having Marty back.
I like that, when you have a sense of familiarity, a familiar voice, someone that you can bounce ideas off of, it's almost like you can complete each other's sentences. It's almost like match
Exactly.
game, if you will. So
Definitely,
that's
100%.
we should do a driver crew chief interview one of these days just to see if you guys really think of the same word at the same time. That'd be pretty neat. Now, I understand here, Sam, that you work with a really great organization called End Stigma. So, you mean, how important is it for you to collaborate with them in terms of mental health awareness and just in general, having those difficult conversations about it?
Yeah, we haven't talked too much about it lately, but working with them a lot, especially in the past, especially over COVID, it affected a lot of people and in a lot of different ways too. So to be able to help out organizations like that is super special, and to help people in general, because that's the goal of any organization like that, is to help people, and to be a part of that is just really satisfying.
And I think that's really a great thing that you're doing just because, yeah, COVID there certainly impacted us. I think even post-COVID, it's tough because people probably got used to a routine or developed some kind of defense against being isolated and then being reintegrated with society can be a little tough. But I think it's great that people like you are working on that with that organization and just others in general, realizing it's okay to have those talks because I don't know if he would have before COVID. So it's that's really neat that you're doing that over the years. Now let's talk a little bit about the team ownership side with Dale and Kelly Earnhardt Miller. What's the best advice that you received from both of them in terms about handling the rigors of racing?
Yeah, there's so many different aspects to racing. There's the personal side, the business side, the driver side. There's so many different antics that go along with racing that Kelly and Dale both have so much knowledge with, and I really can't pinpoint one thing that they help me with, because it just flows into everything else that we can talk about. But Kelly's talked to me a lot about the business side, because she obviously is the boss over there. She knows what's going on. She gets it. She gets being a driver as well. So, and that's something that Dale's helped me with too, is a lot of the driver side, getting used to being in the spotlight and showing what you got. You have to do it right, otherwise you won't make it. So he knows all about that. He knows how to make driving more fun and less business, because obviously an organization like Junior Motorsports, it's just tons of fun over there. So having those two as boss, it feels really good.
It's a great balance from the sounds of things, just because, like you said, Kelly's got that great business background. Certainly, it doesn't help, doesn't hurt to work with the Earnhardts in general, just because they have always been so innovative with business, with merchandising, and just, dealing with the press as well. So, you've got two great subject matter experts with that. So, it's almost like going to college, but better than that, because you're doing it for fun. Now, most folks may never understand and experience the speed and rush that you feel in that race car every weekend. But what are a few relatable experiences that someone like me probably has done in their life would be similar to what you do in your car?
I think the biggest comparison that I can make for someone, anyone, would be to compare Dover, or really kind of any mile and a half like that. Like, I think you can throw Texas into that mix too, is being on a roller coaster that goes straight down. That light feeling that you feel going off into the corner is the exact same that you feel going down on a roller coaster. It's really, it's hard to explain, But if you feel that feeling in your stomach, you can almost directly correlate that to racing. It's really cool.
Now that you said that, now I'm trying to remember that feeling. So I'm not going to see things the same way anymore, the way you said that. So that's really cool. I have ridden roller coasters. I've actually been in the front of a roller coaster before, which is, I can't do that anymore. I'm retired from excitement. But that's a cool comparison. I think folks are going to understand that. Now, let's just say that you have a bunch of money laying around and you're like, you know what? I want to build a racetrack somewhere. What kind of racetrack would you build and where would it be?
I would try to build a mile and a half, because there's a lot of really good mile and a halfs out there, but there's also mile and a halfs that struggle. So I would try to build a type of mile and a half racetrack, intermediate racetrack that has like progressive type banking, almost kind of like Homestead, but shaped differently than Homestead. But I think having a racetrack like that, that could provide different grooves for racing. Like, as a driver, you can kind of design your own racetrack based off what you like. And that's something that I like. So I would do something close to that.
And where would this be?
Man, I think I would put it towards the northwest. I think having the weather up there and the cool backgrounds, I think would be really cool. Somewhere close to the mountains, kind of like Fontana. Like the Fontana views that you can see there, some of the pictures that you see of those racetracks are just beautiful. So I would build something close to Fontana, in that sense of what you see and kind of like the racing you get to.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss the fact that we're not racing in Fontana for the interim. And I know what you're talking about with Mont Baldy in the background. We got some amazing shots of that racetrack from other outlets and mine as well. So. Yeah, now I'm starting to think about cold weather, because you don't want to hear the weather here in Texas. It's pretty bad temperature-wise. Yeah.
It's hot all around the southeast too here. It was like 95 today so far. So I'm happily inside doing this interview with you.
And same here. I'm not actually in Watkins Glen. I wish that were. It's probably cooler for both of us than where we're at. Man, I'm enjoying this so much, but I got to get to my last question, because I know we're both busy, busy dudes over here. But if you got to be a guest DJ for Sirius XM Radio, what music or songs would you be playing in terms of artists?
I would play, like, my favorite artist right now would be Pitbull. He has a lot of really fun songs I like, and it's really, like, it's songs that you could really DJ with. And I think like the vibe that you can get from stuff like that would be a lot of fun. So that would definitely be something I would do.
I like that. It's a nice little like Friday afternoon feeling, if you will.
Exactly. You get it.
I do, because I am a 9-to-5 East Coast time person. So yes, I look forward to Fridays after 5 o'clock. But man, I'm glad that we got to do this at last. At least you did this interview with me, not Nathan. No, no offense to Nathan. I'm kidding. You're good. He's a good dude. But do you have anything you want to say to the fans before we wrap things up?
Yeah, just thanks to everyone who supports racing, because really we would not be able to do this without the people in the grandstands and people that watch on TV and participate and watching in these podcasts. So it's super cool to have people that support us as race car drivers, us as a sport, because we would not be able to do it without you guys. So thank you.
Absolutely. And that was Sam Mayer, driver of the #1 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet Camaro and the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And for this weekend, he has himself a pretty special sponsor on his #1 car, because he has Tim McGraw standing room only on his Chevrolet Camaro. So thanks again to Sam for joining us, and to his public relations specialist, Beth Swanson, for making that possible. We really appreciate it. We look forward to having more stories about Sam on TPF throughout the playoffs, the rest of the season, and really anytime he wants to come by. He doesn't have to be a stranger. So we always enjoy having Sam on our program. But with that, folks, it's time to wrap up episode #84. So for Sam Mayer, I'm Rob Tiongson, saying thanks so much for tuning in to TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. Check out our previous podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. Next week, it'll be episode 85, the post-Daytona Milwaukee Mile pre
Darlington edition. Yes, folks, the Lady in Black is back, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Nathan Solomon will be back as well, as he'll be settled back on campus at St. Bonaventure University, so go Bonas. As I like to say all the time, let's go get that checkered flag, and until next time, so long, everyone.